If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn together to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6 once again. We're going to finish up this chapter tonight, but we're not going to finish our study of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. It's going to go on into chapter 7, and so we'll be continuing on with that. But tonight we come to a passage of Scripture, and as I was thinking about this text tonight, I came across a quote that I thought was very worthwhile to share with you. And the quote goes like this. It says, "Worry is a futile thing. It's like a rocking chair." You know what a rocking chair is, right? Okay. "It keeps you occupied, but it doesn't get you anywhere." And that's kind of the way worry is, right? It keeps you occupied, but really doesn't get you anywhere. The truth of that statement was actually confirmed in a study that was conducted by Penn State University some years ago. They did a study on a number of people who were what they called seriously anxiety disordered. In other words, these were real worry warts. These were people, they worry about everything, okay? And it was found in their study of this group of people who had this disorder, it was found that 91% of the things they worried about never came to pass. 91% of the things they worried about never came to pass. They also discovered the other 9% of the worries actually had some legitimacy. In other words, what they worried about did come to pass, but it wasn't as bad as they expected. Now, we know because of what we have heard from others, and unfortunately, we know because of our own personal experiences, that people can worry about a multitude of things, can't we? I mean, if there's nothing to worry about, we'll make something up, okay? We can worry about all kinds of things. But if we stop and think about it, the number one thing that people worry about, anybody want to guess what it is? Huh?
You
read my notes, didn't you? Yeah. Number one thing that people worry about is money. That's right. Number one thing. In fact, there was an article in the Singapore Business Review dated the 5th of January 2016. The headline, "Money, No Enough." Sounds Singaporean, doesn't it? Money, no enough. And the article then went on to talk about how that 6 out of 10 Singaporeans, that's 60%, 6 out of 10 Singaporeans are worried that the savings they have managed to put together will not be enough to provide them with a comfortable retirement. What are they worried about? Money. Worried about money. By the way, it's not just a Singapore problem. In another article in MarketWatch.com, 17 December 2018, it said this. It said, "Money is the biggest source of stress for Americans." It went on to say that a survey by Northwestern Mutual found that money was the dominant source of stress for 44% of Americans. 44%. Now, the reason I mention all of that this evening or whenever it is, the reason I mention all of that is because in our study together last time, what did the Lord talk about? Talked about money, right? Last time he was talking about money, he dealt with the subject of our treasures. He dealt with the subject of money, and he clearly made that statement. You remember what he said? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't have it both ways. You can't serve both. And the Lord Jesus, being the expert, the ultimate expert on human nature, being the ultimate expert on human behavior, he understood the attraction that money has for us. He understood how easily money can take control of our lives. And he understood how easily money can enslave us. We become a servant to it. We become a servant to it. And when that happens, when money becomes the focus, when money becomes the priority of our life, the result is always going to be worry. It's always going to be worry. When the money becomes the focus of our life, the result is going to be, it's going to be worry. So with the Lord Jesus naturally now, after talking about money, he's naturally now going to begin to talk on the subject of worry. Notice it, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore. Now, anytime you see that word therefore, you remember the little rule, right? Whenever you see the word therefore, you need to remember what is it there for. And so what came just before that? Well, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in money. Therefore, since that is true, I say unto you. And so based on what we saw last week, now the Lord Jesus is going to begin to deal with this subject of worry. And so let's begin our study this evening. I want us to notice together a couple of two or three things. First of all, let's notice number one, the exhortation. The exhortation, and there are basically two key points that are going to be seen in the Lord's exhortation. First of all, notice letter A, there is the necessary discernment. There is a necessary discernment. In other words, there is something that is absolutely essential that we understand. There's a discernment that we need. Notice it, Matthew 6 and verse number 25. Take no thought. That simply means do not be filled with worry. Do not be anxious. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. In other words, the thing that we need to understand here, the necessary discernment that is needed in each of our lives, is that we are not to worry about the necessities of life. That's what he's talking about here. The necessities of life. Now we need to be careful here. We need to be careful. The Lord Jesus has instructed that we must not allow worry about the necessities of life to consume us or to take a hold of us. But this is not, please understand, this is not a license for laziness. It's not a license for laziness. The Lord Jesus is not saying that we should take no responsibility for the necessities of life. That's not what he's saying at all. In other words, we're not to sit around expecting that other people are going to take care of us. We're not to sit around expecting that the church or the government's going to take care of us. We're not to sit around thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to sit here, twiddle my thumbs, watch TV, and God will take care of me. No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. In a moment, we're going to see that God is faithful to provide for His own, but that does not mean we can be lazy. Does not mean that we can be lazy. That's why the Apostle Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8, he said, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. A man that does not take the responsibility to provide for the welfare of his family, to provide the necessities for his family, he has denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. The fact is, nowhere in the Bible does God encourage laziness. Nowhere in the Bible does God condone laziness. In fact, the Apostle Paul stated it very clearly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10. If any would not work. Now notice, would not. Doesn't say if any cannot. Some people cannot and they need help. But if a man can work, but he will not work, the Apostle Paul said, neither should he eat.
Right.
Neither should he eat. And so we need to understand that not worrying about the necessities of life does not mean that we just sit back and do nothing. That's not what it means. We are expected to be diligent. We're commanded to be diligent. We're commanded to work hard and to work smart in order that we might earn the finances that are needed to provide the necessities for ourselves and for those who depend upon us. I want you to notice the second thing. Letter B. The necessary priority. The necessary priority. The last part of verse number 25, the Lord Jesus continues. Here's what He said. He said, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Human beings, I have observed, all over the world. I've been around long enough. I've traveled enough. I've seen enough. I pretty well tell you this is dead certain. That people all over the world are prone to extremes. They are prone to extremes. That's just part of who we are. Part of who we are. We're prone to extremes. And so there's some way over on this side who say, I'm not going to worry about the necessities of life, and so they don't do anything. Okay? But then there's others who go way over here to the other extreme. And by the way, you'll notice that both of these extremes are equally far removed from the center where they ought to be, okay? But you got one way over here, one way over here. I'm not going to worry about the necessities of life. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to pray and trust God, you know? And then you have the other group that's way over here on this side, and they say, well, I'm going to work hard for the necessities of life. And they work so hard, they become so focused on working for the material things of this life, they forget all about the things that are eternal. That's the two extremes. That's the two extremes. And so the Lord Jesus reminds us that our life is more, it's more than the physical. It's more than the physical. In fact, that's why the Lord Jesus asked the question. You remember the question? Mark chapter 8, verse number 36. He asked the question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but he loses his soul? What has he profited? It's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is nothing. In fact, that is the world's biggest loser. He's lost it all. He's lost it all. Certainly the physical man must be cared for. The physical man requires food. He requires clothing. But we must never make the mistake of neglecting the spiritual man. We must never make the mistake of neglecting the spiritual man. We must never make the mistake of sacrificing that which is eternal on the altar of that which is temporary. We must never make that mistake. So there's the exhortation that the Lord Jesus gives. There's a second thing that I want us to notice, and that's this. He's now going to give us the illustrations. He's going to give us some illustrations. I said a moment ago that God is faithful to provide for His own, and while we work and maintain the right priorities in our life, our Heavenly Father is faithful to supply for us the necessities of life. And now He's going to show us two illustrations of that fact. He's going to show us two illustrations. First of all, there's the illustration of the birds. The illustration of the birds. And you find it in verse number 26, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. The Lord Jesus said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. They don't sow. They don't have a harvest. They don't build barns to store their food in. And yet God feeds them. God feeds them. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, he wrote this. He said, the birds meet the coming light of morning with their songs and pour out their notes on the zephyrs of the evening. unanxious about the supply of their needs. Yet, I love this, how few die with hunger. God provides for them. God provides for them. He cares for the birds. And then the Lord follows that with this question. Notice it, verse number 26. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, in the view of God, aren't you more valuable than those birds? Aren't you far greater value than those birds that fly in the air? And again, that's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is yes, because no matter who you are and no matter where you come from, you're more valuable than a bird, because unlike birds, you were created in the image and likeness of God. And unlike birds, God sent His Son to die for you. See? God sent His Son to die for you so that you might be cleansed of your sin, and so that you might be forever with Him in heaven. So are you not more valuable than the birds? Absolutely we are. Absolutely we are. So if God takes care of the birds, then certainly He's going to take care of us. Now after the illustration, the Lord Jesus then asked a question to press home the fact. He wants to drive home the fact that worrying about the necessities of life is an exercise in futility. It's foolish to worry about the necessities of life. Notice what he says in verse number 27. He says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Boy, I used to read that verse and say, "Man, I wish that wasn't in there." I'd really like to be as tall as Brother Maverick, you know. I kind of look down on the world, you know. But that word stature there, it's interesting. We understand the word means height, right? It means height. But it also should note that in the Greek it carries another meaning as well. Not only does it speak of height, but the same Greek word is found in John chapter 9, verse 23. Here's what it says. "Therefore said his parents, he is," and here's the same Greek word, "of age." He is of age. Ask him. In other words, the idea that the Lord Jesus is making here is simply this, that we have no power to add to our height, sadly. We have no power to add to our height. And by the way, we have no power to increase the days of our life. All of that is included in that statement. All of that is included there. So therefore, to worry about the necessities of life, it's going to accomplish nothing. Because by your worry, you can change nothing. You can change nothing. And so the Lord talks about the birds. Then He also gives us another illustration. It's the illustration of the flowers. The illustration of the flowers. And notice what He says in the next couple of verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, verse 29. He said, "Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these." We were in the States a couple of months ago. My brother-in-law, they have a property out in the country, and they have a field out in front of their house. And in that field, he went out and actually sowed among all of the weeds. He just threw these seeds of wild flowers out among the weeds. And those things will come up, and it just lights that field. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. All these different colors with these wild flowers growing. And that's the very thing that the Lord Jesus is talking about. Solomon in all of his glory cannot match those beautiful flowers that God has created. After giving the illustration, the Lord Jesus then asked another question. He asked another question to press home the fact that worrying about the necessities of life, again, it's an exercise in futility. Notice the question in verse number 30. He said, Wherefore, since that is true, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? And then we come right down to the bottom line. Here's the problem. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. There's the exhortation. There's the illustrations. Then I want you to notice number three, there's the application. As the Lord Jesus concludes His teaching about worry, He's going to give a simple outline that's going to tie it all together. He's going to give a simple outline here that ties it all together. And I want you to notice there are three things that He's going to mention. First of all, He's going to talk about our faith. He's going to talk about our faith. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and verse 32, He says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Gentiles, people who don't know God. People who have no relationship with God. They're not God's chosen people. They're heathens who worship false gods. They're the ones who worry about all these things. You as the people of God, don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. And here's the reason why. Because your heavenly Father knoweth what you have, that you have need of all these things. He knows you have need of it. The birds are not filled with worry over their next meal. They simply go about doing what God designed birds to do. They just go around doing what God designed birds to do. They go about their daily routine expecting to find whatever it is they need to survive. They do that. And the fields do not lie all winter wondering if the flowers are going to come up in the spring. The flowers just come up, they grow, and we enjoy the beauty that they give. And certainly the Lord Jesus knew that our lives are much more complex than the life of a bird. He's not being very simplistic here, please understand. He knows our lives. He knows our lives are much more complex than the life of a bird. And He knows that our lives are much more demanding than the life of a flower in the field. But the point is simply this. By faith, we can rejoice in the fact that our Heavenly Father knows everything that we need. He knows all about the necessities of our life. He knows all of that. He knows all of that. And so He speaks to us, first of all, of our faith. We need to have faith, confidence, that our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And then we need to think about this. He speaks of our focus. And when I talk about our focus, I think what He's referring to here is our priorities in life. What is it that we're focused on? What are the priorities that we have in our life? And the Lord Jesus is going to give us two of them. Notice it, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want you to notice there's two priorities that we find here. The first priority is that we seek His kingdom. We're to seek His kingdom. This is a reference to the salvation of your soul. It's a reference to the salvation of your soul. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see" what? He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. The bottom line is simply this. You cannot expect the provision of the Heavenly Father if He is not your Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? You cannot expect the provision of the Heavenly Father if He's not your Heavenly Father. For your number one priority is you need to be born again. You need to seek first His kingdom. You need to be born into His family. That's man's greatest need. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, the highest priority in every man's life ought to be to have a right relationship with God, to be born again. To be born again. seek first His kingdom. But there's a second priority. After we have been saved, after we have been born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the second priority is this. We're to seek His righteousness. In other words, we are to strive every day to become more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to strive to be more holy in our walk and in our life. And the bottom line is simply this. You see, we can struggle and we can fight and we can scheme and we can worry for the necessities of life, but we cannot expect the Heavenly Father to provide those necessities if He does not hold first place in our life. If He does not have first place, if He is not our priority, many Christians, God has a prominent place in their life. But God doesn't want the prominent place. God wants the preeminent place. He wants to be in the place where nothing is above Him. He wants to be the preeminent one. The preeminent one. If He's not our number one priority, then we're going to have a hard way trying to get the necessities of life. But when we do those things, when we seek first His kingdom, and then we seek His righteousness to become more and more like Christ, then we will know the third thing that the Lord Jesus is going to mention here, and that is our freedom. He's going to talk about our freedom. And the freedom that He's going to talk about is the freedom from worry. The freedom from worry. Notice it in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Here's what the wise man said. He said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You ever notice that to be true? Have you ever woken up one morning and something happened and you said, "Boy, I sure wasn't expecting that." Well, that happened to me last Monday. Monday week ago. I wasn't expecting that to happen. It wasn't what I had planned. It wasn't on my list of things to do, okay? I didn't plan to spend my morning at the hospital. Things happen. Nobody knows what a day is going to bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen. And since that is true, we should not allow the worries about what might happen. What might happen. We shouldn't worry about the things that might happen tomorrow rob us of the strength that we need to deal with the burdens of today. Does that make sense? We shouldn't let what might happen tomorrow rob us of the joy of living today. Rather, we should determine to simply take, like the song we sang a while ago, Brother Matthew, and that was a good choice, day by day. We need to determine just day by day we're gonna walk with God. Not going to worry about tomorrow, just day by day. Day by day. Day by day. Taking one thing at a time. And by the way, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is going to tell us. Look at it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow." Take no thought for tomorrow. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Today we'll have enough problems. Today we'll have enough challenges. Today we'll have enough difficulties for us to deal with. And so we should not foolishly add to all of that the weight of what might happen tomorrow. Say, we got enough problems today to mess with. Let's don't add to it, foolishly add to it, the weight and the burden of what might happen tomorrow. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, truth of the matter is, think about this. And this is a wonderful thought. Do you realize that tomorrow morning, we might wake up in heaven? How about that? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Anybody object to that? No? No? Yeah. I've got some things I need to do tomorrow, but it can all be delayed, okay? Boy, that'd be wonderful. It would be worth it all, right, when we see Jesus? Another good song, Matthew, one of my favorites. These are some very simple, and yet they're very profound truths that we've seen tonight. If we stop and think about it, stop and think about it, the problem of worry, when you get right down to it, the problem of worry is basically a problem of focus. That's the problem. The reason why we worry is because our focus isn't right. Our focus isn't right. In other words, every day we have to decide if we're going to focus on doing the will of the Heavenly Father, or am I going to spend all my time focusing on my problems? Spend all my time focusing on my difficulties and worrying about all these things that I need in my life. So let me close with an amazing promise. This is one of those of you who've been around for a while, you'll remember this. This is one of Pastor Moore's favorite verses right here. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect peace. Who's he going to keep in perfect peace? Those whose mind is stayed on thee. You know what that means? That means he is their focus. And by the way, do you know why he is their focus? Look at the last part of the verse. Because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. May this be a reality in each one of our lives. Sometimes we sing the little song, "Why worry when you can pray?" Sadly, many times we turn that around and say, "Why pray when we can worry," right? Yeah, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. That's the truth. That's the truth about worry. May God help us to learn from it. Heavenly Father.